Unleash your God-given potential today. Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro and co-hosts Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle. Join us as we feature dynamic testimonies of God's hand in the lives of people in our series, Hope in a Time of Crisis. Be a part of our show by calling us at 296-5467. And now, The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What happens when you feel your back is against the wall financially? How about when you look at your bank statement? And you just know you don't have enough to cover the expenses for the month. Or times when you feel you're doing everything you can to be cautious, but there just doesn't seem to be enough. Have you ever seen God come through for you and your family in ways you just cannot explain? If so, because I know you do. Many of us have. Call us at 296-5467 and tell us your story. It will be an encouragement to everyone who hears it. Tell us about it. We want to hear it. We want to be encouraged. And I know many others will benefit greatly from it as well. Our guest today knows very well what it's like to see God come through. He has seen God's miraculous provision over and over again. He and his wife. And boy, do they have some stories to tell. And he's here to tell us those stories. James Coble, along with his wife Karen, they're missionaries to Japan with Every Nation Ministries. They and their children, Sean, Shane, and Amanda, embarked in a major change that required a shifting in careers right here in Hawaii. Once they heard God's call, they progressively took steps that led them to doing some extremely meaningful work with students in Japan. James is here with us. James Coble, welcome to our show.
Hey, Danny. Hey, Alfredo. Good to see you guys.
Great to have you, James.
Good to be here.
Yeah. You know, James, we just wanted to ask you, how did you become a Christian?
It started way back in 1981. A friend of mine had become a Christian, somebody that we thought would never become a Christian. We were all just hanging down at Ala Moana Beach Park. And in fact, Alfredo, you were with my friend when he got saved. That's right. This is way back, right after high school, graduated in 81. 1982, went to a Bible study. And, I think you were there. You might have been there that night.
Right,
I think
there,
so.
Yeah.
That's right. And, a guy just asked me a simple question, are you ready? And I had no idea what he was talking about, but I said, yeah, I'm ready. And he took me in a room and read the Roman Road to me and led me in a simple prayer. And in my mind, I just thought, well, if this is true, I'll just give it a try and see what happens. And boy, has my life been changed ever since then. So it's been a great journey, one that's still continuing. But it all started way back in right after my senior year of high school.
Where did you graduate from, James?
McKinley High School. Go, go Tigers.
The Tigers.
Yeah. And then you met your beautiful wife.
Met Karen way back. We got married in 1990. Met her at Pastor Sid Sumita's house with our youth group when we were all in college studying together, and started dating, got married in 1990. Back then, I was the high school youth pastor working with Randy Picaro at Grace Bible Church.
Yeah. And the neat thing about it, you already had a heart to reach out to your friends and, your coworkers. You were working that time. But you went on a mission trip. to Japan.
Back in, I think it was on 2001, we have a church in Japan, Yokohama Grace Bible Church, and they wanted to plant a church near the beach. And so they asked a couple friends of ours, Tom Bauer, Surfing the Nations, you know, why don't you bring a bunch of surfers out and see what the climate is like in the Shonan area? And so my wife told me, you know, you should go. You should go surfing in Japan. And when your wife says to go surfing, you say, okay.
That was an opportunity,
yeah,
right?
You know? So I went on the outreach, and we surfed there for about 2 weeks and led a few kids to the Lord. And it was just a real eye-opening experience. But that God really spoke to me about working in Japan. And I was just a guy working full-time in the printing industry, you know, and not really on staff or anything. But I remember calling my wife from the trip. She wasn't with me. And I said, you know, I think God wants us to work in Japan. And I thought short-term missions. And my wife said, yeah, God's speaking to me too. We should go on these mission trips to Japan. But by the time I got home, I really knew that the Lord was calling us to go full-time in Japan. In fact, when I got home, my wife felt the same thing. And that was scary. When your wife feels the same thing you feel to move to Japan with your three young children, it was exciting and scary at the same time.
Wow. So you already knew when you went on that mission trip, something was put inside of you, perhaps a vision to move your family to Japan. And,
yeah.
And, you know, just kind of, you know, you said when you're coming back and thinking about it. And so God was just working inside of you already, really to bring you to a place where you take a step of faith toward your purpose.
Yeah, it was a huge step. I mean, I had been working all these years. I was never on staff. I guess we're typical, Hawaiians where we don't have a lot of savings. I don't have stocks and bonds. I don't, didn't really have much of a plan of my future. I just thought, serve God. God's going to take care of me. But when Japan came up, there's a lot of preparation. How do you move your family? What are you going to do to support yourself? What are you going to do in Japan? You can't speak the language. And, you know, it was a huge step. My kids were very young. You know,
how old were they?
In 2000, my daughter was one. My middle son was three, and my oldest son was five.
Wow.
Yeah, at that time, when we first got the call, but we didn't make it there till about 2005.
Yeah.
So it was a long journey of preparation and training to get to Japan.
During those preparation moments, did you sometimes think in your mind, maybe this is not a good plan, maybe this is my plan? And because, you know, a lot of people go through that when they have a vision from God, you be tested whether you're going to persevere through that. I mean, you could talk about that a little bit of how some of the experiences you went through.
Well, the plan was terrible. There was no plan. The plan was just trust God and take a step. You know, that's the only thing I could do is...
That's not a plan. That's a motivational talk.
I knew God called us,
but
we had no idea how to get there.
Yeah.
And so we just said, okay, God, if you want us to go, then you're going to have to open the doors and provide for us. Of course, you know, we talked to our pastors, Pastor Sam Webb. We talked to Pastor Scott Dama in Japan and threw it out to them and what we felt God wanted us to do. And, you know, they agreed, but also said, well, we have to see how God provides, because there was no opening for us there. There was no job opportunity to speak of. And so it was really just God's calling us. So, okay, God, we're willing to go.
Yeah. And in the meantime, you're working?
Yeah, right? Working full time. Yeah.
And I remember, James, I remember having meetings at Zippy's.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I would meet you at your workplace. You know, James designed a number of my books.
Oh, okay.
You know, and he worked as our graphic designer. And so that was on the side, right? And you had your own job. And but we'd meet, and you would process, right? You'd say, hey, so how's it going? And and it was a period of years that you were going through this process of. So what did you see? How progressively now, hindsight, you're able to see a lot, right?
Yeah.
Somehow hindsight allows us to see things in a lot more orderly fashion than when we're walking through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you look back, what kind of progress or process did you see God taking you through, you and Karen?
Yeah, it went, you know, we were working full time, And, you know, really, you have the calling, and then there's the timing, you know, of God, and what, when is God telling you to really step out? But what had happened in the process of saying, okay, we will be missionaries, we will go, and I met with Pastor Scott, and I said, we felt led to come to Japan, but we have no way to support ourselves other than to work there. And he said, as long as you understand, you know, you're going to come to Japan, you're going to work, you're going to be a member of the church, you're not going to be a pastor or anything like that, but, and we'll see what God does. And we said, okay, that, all we know is we should go. But in the process, what happened is our church became part of Every Nation Ministries. And that opened up a whole another avenue for us to pursue this calling. And one of them was the graduate school in Manila, to get trained and really raised up and have the tools to really go out and be a church planter, to be more of a, not a liability to Pastor Scott, but really be someone that can work for him. So we went to Manila for a year to get trained up and go to a church planting school. And that was, I really wanted to get the training. You know, I'd never been to Bible college. I went to the School of Hard Knocks and, you know, Randy Porcaro youth school, you know. So getting training was important for us.
Right. So in the process, you know, it took a while, but God wanted to put some training into you and Karen. And before you actually went to Japan, you moved your family to the Philippines.
Yeah.
So stay there for a whole year.
That was a whole nother phone call to my wife. And Pastor Webb had invited me to go to Manila for the World Conference in Manila that year, and I accompanied him, and also to check out the mission school. And so when we went to the mission school, I said, oh, this is what I need. I really want to get trained here. So I called my wife from Manila, and I said, we need to go to Manila.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, this is where it gets really scary when your wife says, yeah, God told me too that we should go to Manila.
Wow, that's awesome.
Took our eyes off Japan for a moment to get to Manila. But even Manila was the same thing. How do we support ourselves? How do I move my family? What about school? And all these things that were just so beyond my reach. You know, I like I said, I really didn't have any. When I say we didn't have any money, we didn't have any money to speak of to go and do that. So that was a whole other process of faith and God's miraculous provision.
Right, mm-hmm. And you have a lot of stories on that and how God provided for mm-hmm. you. I remember you sharing the story about you know, having that ticket where God mm-hmm. you know, supernaturally provided for you. Was that for the Japan or the Philippines?
That was for Philippines.
Yeah,
you know,
tell us about this.
Yeah,
really good.
We were leaving for Manila in 2 weeks, and we had raised because we're part of Every Nation. We have a program that allows us to raise support. And they train us and let us loose, and I was raising support. But I needed about $500 a month more, which is, that's a lot of money. And we were leaving in 2 weeks. And I really felt the Lord just tell me one, you know, in this last 2 weeks, said, are you going to Manila? And I said, yes, we're going. And he said, really? And I said, yes, really, I believe we're going. And he said, well, do you have your plane ticket? I said, no, Lord, I don't have my, there's no tangible faith here, you know?
Right.
And I really felt the Lord say, buy your tickets and you'll see, you know, I'll provide for you. So I told my wife, I think God wants us to buy the tickets. And she said, well, we're not ready. We don't have the money. And I said, you know, we just got to do it. So I got in my car and she agreed. And I was driving down Kapilani Boulevard going to buy the tickets. And I said, oh, man, I was overwhelmed. And I rolled my windows up in my van and I was literally yelling, God, show me this miracle. I need a miracle right now. And I pulled into the travel agency, and I was handing the lady my credit card, you know, fumbling. And my phone rings, and so now I got my little cell phone on my ear, and I'm handing her the card, and it was my pastor at that time, Pastor Brusso. And he says, hey, do you know this guy? And he threw out this name. I said, no, I don't know this guy, you know. And then I said, oh, yeah, I know his son, but I never met the guy in my life, and I don't even know his son, really. And he said, yeah, he just called the church, and he said that, actually, we needed $600 a month. Yeah, $600 a month. And he calls up and asks Pastor Bruce for a recommendation, asked about me and my family, and And Pastor Bruce said, hey, yeah, he said he's going to support you $500 a month. And I just was floored. I dropped my phone. I dropped the credit card, you know. Couldn't believe that God came through in that way. And I called Karen. I said, well, this guy, I don't know who he is. He's going to support us $500 a month so we can go. You know, yeah. We just got $100 more. And my wife says, wow, that's great. Make sure you go to the supermarket and pick up the groceries on the way home. I go to the grocery market, and there in the grocery market is old family friends of mine, part of Grace Bible Church a long time ago. And they say, hey, I heard you're going to Manila. Hey, we want to support you, you know, $50 a month. And I was like, wow, I was just blown away, you know. Yeah. I was like,
oh. This is just them telling you.
Yeah, in the produce section of Time Supermarket, they just, hey, how's it going? I heard you're going to Manila, you know. We want to help you out.
Wow.
And then I get home, and then there's an email from my old junior high school friend that I hadn't seen in years, and just sent me an email. Said, again, I heard you're going to Manila. Want to support you $50. Boom, we're done.
The tears all covered.
Oh, yeah. Man, I was just, wow. I couldn't believe
That's
it, you know.
Awesome.
And I don't live that kind of life every day. You know, up until then, I had never known what it was to really see those kinds of miracles, but, you know. When I stepped out, God just provided.
That's awesome.
Next thing you know, we're in Manila with the whole family.
Well, and we got to hear about that on your journey to Japan.
Yeah.
And so much has happened in Japan.
Yeah.
But you've got stories to tell us about it in Manila.
That's right.
And the amazing thing is how God provided.
That's right, man.
And we want that testimony, James, is going to inspire someone today. Maybe today you have a story like that, something similar. You can share it too. Call us at 296-5467. But stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to hear more from James Coble about God's miraculous provision in his life. Stay with us.
We'll be right back. Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long term impact through short term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities in 2009 to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training. Make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name. Call Stephen at 674-9977. That's 674-9977. A door to your dream is now open. The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
Years ago, the great lyricist Oscar Hammerstein flew with a friend over New York Harbor, approaching the Statue of Liberty. When the pilot suddenly banked the plane, he saw the rare sight of Lady Liberty's hand. Amazed, he noticed every lock and braid meticulously carved and polished. He remembered, this gift was given by France in 1886, before airplanes were even invented. Frédéric Auguste Bataudy, the sculptor, could have saved months of painstaking labor and expenses by doing minimal work, reasoning no one but seagulls would see it. A gentle reminder, pay attention to details. Don't neglect the little things. You never know how your private work will be scrutinized publicly. I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with a good life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. Listening to The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. To be part of today's discussion titled Hope in a Time of Crisis, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-hosts Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle.
Welcome back to our show. We're here with James Coble.
Yes.
And He's telling us stories. Stories. You know, the Bible talks about in Psalms, tell of all thy wondrous works. And time and again, we're encouraged in Scripture to tell the stories, to tell the testimonies. And you know, a program like The Good Life Hawaii would not be possible if it were not for very generous sponsors like dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara in Waiawa, as well as the generous donations of orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Wally Ho's Garage and Grill on Kamehameha Highway there in Aiea, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, and dentist Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry. Now, to hear more programs that are in our archives, programs that was as last week, the week before, people like Joe Ono Sai, people like Guy Akasaki or Kelly Boy Dilima of Kapena and his wife Leolani and many, many others, just go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. In fact, you can even invite friends, maybe someone that you know knows of them, that would be encouraged and inspired. They might not even be followers of Christ, but you know that you can relate because of this, the format and the testimonies that are being shared. It'll be an encouragement to them. Go ahead and direct them to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, during our break, we were listening to James tell us about how God provided miraculously for in a day to cover a gap of $600 in an amazing way that he had no idea. He's just screaming in his van with the windows up, God provide, God provide. But more happened.
Yeah. You know, we had to go, once we got through Manila, it was great time in Manila, learning, just laying a good solid foundation for ministry in my life, preparing me how to speak, you know, just studying the Bible and going out on short-term missions. I went to into Hong Kong, and we went out to the province many times. So it was a great training period, but we came back in end of 2003 to finish raising support for Japan, because living in Manila is one thing and living in the Philippines is one cost of living, and living in Japan, in Yokohama, second largest city in Japan, is a whole nother thing. And so we had a tremendous mountain in front of us in terms of raising support to get to Japan, especially with a family of five living in that city. And so, again, it was just really stepping out in faith and just seeing God's wonderful people. You know, so many of our partners who are partnered with us to reach Japan just opened up their hearts, their pocketbooks, prayed with us, prayed for us, and provided. And not just even financially, but, you know, one story was actually, even when we were going to Manila, because I was studying, I needed a laptop, and I thought, oh, we should just spend the money, buy the laptop, you know. And my wife said, just wait one more day, and maybe God will do something. And out of the blue, I get a phone call from a person, again, that I barely even know, and he just tells me, you know, God told me you need a computer. And so meet me at the store, we'll pick out a computer. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, this never happens to me. I'm so, you know, I'm floating around Oahu now. And same that while we're buying the computer, he turns around. And I'm thinking, well, I got the computer. I don't have any software, you know. But I think, okay, I can spend the money I was going to buy for the computer on the software. Right. He turns around and says, God told me you need software. So what kind of software you need? So he buys everything for us, you know, because he's being obedient to God and God's speaking to him. But you know, getting to Japan was just so phenomenal to see, as we were obedient, stepping out, and all the miracles and meeting these different people and people I'd never met before, and just our hearts getting bound together to reach the nation of Japan. And we were able to raise all our support and to head out to Japan in 2005. So that was just a tremendous thing that God did for us. You know,
James, a lot of people have a vision at times, and they know what, they know the what, but they don't know the how.
Yeah.
And in the process of that, you know, from you going to the Philippines and being trained up, coming back to Hawaii to raise support, I mean, what kept you motivated? You know, because a lot of times people, they have the what, but they don't know how they're going to do it. And in the process, people give up or they get discouraged. What kept you motivated?
Well, you know, I guess the thing that really kept me motivated, I mean, I'm not trying to simplify, but really was God. That every time I would step out in faith, that God would meet us. When we came back to Hawaii from the Philippines, we're not homeowners, so we had no place to stay.
Right.
Coming back for a year to raise support, we had no place to stay and really not enough money to rent. And I thought, okay, we'll stay with my mom, you know, on the floor, or, you know, something will happen. But, one of my partners now, he says, you know, I'm helping this person out, and he has a place to stay for about 8 months, and you guys are willing to, more than welcome to stay there, fully furnished. And we thought, oh, great, you know, where is this place? You know, I didn't care where it was. I mean, just the fact that we had some place to stay, but of all places, it was in Ko'olina. Yeah. So we stayed in a fully furnished townhouse in Ko'olina. In fact, I was praying with my daughter. She was very young at the time. And I said, you know, Amanda, why don't you pray for the house? You know, what do you think? What kind of house is God going to give us? You know? And she says, Daddy, I want a swimming pool. And I thought, oh, I said, well, Amanda, you know, we kind of always have what we want, you know, but, I'm sure you can pray for a swimming pool. And our unit, you open the front door, is right in front of the swimming pool. It was like our very own swimming pool, because we open our door and walk right out into the community pool. And, you know, we had cars the whole time, two cars for the whole time. We were raising support. And at the end of the 8 months, I mean, it just gets better and better. This is why it keeps me motivated, because at the end of the 8 months, we had to move out now. We still got four more months to raise support, and we weren't there yet. And again, a member of our church, I had never met these new members of our church, they came forward and said, I heard you need a place to stay. I said, yeah, we got to find a place to stay. And so he gave me the name of the village, and I'd never heard it before, so I didn't know where it was. And we were in Ko'olina. And he says, yeah, this is, you know, I think it's close by you guys. And so I'm thinking, okay, down the street, Waianae, Nanakuli. Right? It was in Ko'olina, in the really expensive Kailani, right when you drive in the gate on the right hand side, the million dollar townhomes. So we stayed the rest of the time in Kailani, in Ko'olina. I mean, it was like a dream. And, and you know, that really was the motivation for me. It was always God just being there as we put ourselves on the line. God just kept coming through and coming through and coming through, and people saying, oh, I don't need this car. I was going to sell it. Why don't you drive it until you're finished, you know? So I'm driving around in a Miata convertible, Miata, you know, living in Ko'olina. It was a dream. It really was a dream, but it was, I just, God telling me, yeah, I want you to do this. This is what I want you to do. And I think as we availed ourselves, as we stepped out, God was so faithful to come through. And we're not in Ko'olina anymore, but God's wonderful people too. I mean, the people were just so fantastic, you know. It was awesome.
It's amazing how the grace of God, and God provides for us when we take steps of faith.
Yeah.
And even just to hear your daughter asking for a request, maybe having a swimming pool. And I can imagine, like, as a father, you know, you're thinking, wow, that's the desire of my daughter, but I don't know if I can do that for her.
Right.
And God, your Heavenly Father actually looks out for her, and He provides an opportunity. That's amazing.
The one thing I really understood early on, my wife and I, is that it's not so much about me and my calling, but it's also about my kids. And God hears my kids, and God's going to answer their prayers as well as mine. And He has a future and a destiny for them.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it's great. It's really great.
And they are also not only walking the walk of faith, but God is instilling a level of faith, strength, and muscle.
That's right.
Yeah.
At a very early age in them for the greater works that He will have them to do as well.
Right.
That's right.
Now, tell us a little bit about Karen and how she's, you know, processing all these things. And this is just preparation now. We're talking about God's providing hand, but then you have to go, right? You have to go to Japan and adjust to the culture. I mean, practical stuff like finding a school for your children.
Yeah.
They have to learn Japanese too.
Yes.
How are they going to adjust? And is it a fully immersed environment? Socially, how are they going to interact? How, you know, all of those things. It's almost like all that led up to it was just to get you ready so that you could trust God enough to know that if He could handle this, it's like He's saying,
Exactly.
I can provide a place, you know, swimming pool, you know, above and beyond, right? The scripture says that you could ever have asked or imagined. But when you got there, you were faced with other challenges that, you know, again, you had to bear down with the realities of life. And that's what we really need to hear. Even more, the stories about how God built you. Now, you've been there several years now, but over the years, what happened? That's why we want you to stay with us. And when we come back, you're going to hear some of the details of what God has been doing in the life of James and Karen Coble. It'll be a blessing to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities in 2009 to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name. Call Stephen at 674-9977. That's 674-9977. A door to your dream is now open. The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
Disney World was the dream of Walt Disney, who died in 1966. In 1971, just before its grand opening in Florida, Mrs. Lily Disney stood at the entrance of Disney World. An executive nearby stated, "It's too bad Walt isn't here to see this." To that, Mrs. Disney said, "Ah, he did see it. That's why it's here." Someone once asked Helen Keller, "What's worse than being blind?" She answered, "Having sight with no vision." You may be able to see with your eyes, but is there vision in your heart? Your vision will keep you on course, especially during tough times. Former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher once said, "You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it." I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with The Good Life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. Listening to The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. To be part of today's discussion titled Hope in a Time of Crisis, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-hosts Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle.
I can't think of one of the greatest things that to have hope in a time of crisis, but to hear an inspiring story or encouraging stories that, you know, you're not just reading about it in a book, but somebody that's lived it is telling it to you, and it's live, it's happening, it's happened, it's their story. And more than that, to realize, well, if God can do it in his life, maybe he can do something in your life,
that's right.
And in my life. You know, a program like this would not be possible if it weren't for the generous donations and the sponsorship of Dr. Kerry Ishihara, a dentist in Waiawa. A big mahalo to Dr. Kerry Ishihara and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Burt's Unocal on School Street, dentist Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Delta Construction, and LT Flooring. To hear more programs like this one and others with guests like Kimberly Miyazawa Frank and Jimmy Yamada and Leslie Silva and more, go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And if you have a story, an encouraging story that you want to share of how God provided for you, don't keep it to yourself. Call us at 296-5467 and share it with us.
Well, we're here with James and the amazing story of how God giving him a vision to go to Japan. But first of all, you know, he was called to go to Manila for some training, come back to Hawaii to raise some support. And here we are at a place where he's now going to head off to Japan. And some of the things that your family had to go through with your, especially your wife and your kids, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
You know, it's easy for guys. Yeah, we're, oh, this is great. It sounds so exciting. But the reality is, you know, the wife, the kids, they have a lot of transition to go through. And so, of course, my wife and I, we prayed hard, and, you know, God provide for our kids, you know, set up not just for us, but for our kids, you know, where they're going to go to school. So my wife went down early and picked the house that we're living in. But and it's right near the church, and we thought we could be close enough to get help if we need help. So we didn't pick the school. The school is just the district that we live in. And it was, so we decided early on that for our kids' sake, we wanted to get them immersed in the language. My daughter was six, eight, and 10. And we put them in Japanese public school. Now, what we didn't know is that God has a plan for even for my kids. And the public school near our house, 5 minutes away, just walk down the street, also services the American base that's right next to our house. And so there's a lot of Hapa kids like mine running around on the base and a lot of American English-speaking kids in the school, too. And they already had a remedial program set up, and they already had very familiar with dealing with foreigners in the school. And, you know, but still, it's such a transition for them. They got to learn kanji now and talk to kids in Japanese. And it was tremendous to watch them adapt to the language. My daughter, I think in 8 months, was pretty proficient in Japanese. At the end of the year, she was fluent. In 2 years, no tutoring, no special classes, nothing. Awesome. And she just finished her fourth year of public Japanese school. So she's very fluent in Japanese. My sons are fluent. They speak in Japanese at home a lot. And so the kids just adapted really well because of the school, because of surroundings. And that was just to see God's hand on our children. Again, reassures us God is for us, God's with us, God's providing for us. So, had an interesting story about I was challenging my son to play sports because my wife and I, we both believe in sports, and, you know, and so, but my son's homeschooled, so, you know, it's not a lot of opportunity to play sports. So I said, you need to pick a sport. He said, okay, Dad, American football. I said,
so this is your older boy.
My oldest
this
son.
This is Sean, right?
Yeah, Sean, yeah.
Okay, so Sean is homeschooled, and then the other two.
All three of them are homeschooled now.
Now they're all homeschooled.
My daughter just finished her fourth year, and now we decided to homeschool her also.
Okay.
So I said, Sean, anything but American football. They don't play American football in Japan. He said, well, you said pick, and I pick football. I said, well, then you better pray to figure out how God's going to provide American football. And a few days later, my wife and kids were at the train station. Yokohama has 4 million people in the city. It's a very large city.
Just about four times the size of the entire state of Hawaii, all in the city of Yokohama.
And out of those people, God brought this one lady to the train station that day on an off day in the middle of the day. American lady, and she saw my wife talking to my kids in English, and she said, oh, you know, where are you guys going? And my wife explained, oh, we're homeschool and they need exercise, so I'm going to take them to the pool, but, you know, they need to play sports. And she says, oh, why don't you bring your son to play with my son? He just joined American football on the base next to my house.
Wow.
Because they opened it up to foreigners. I mean, outside the base now. And so that was Friday, Saturday. They're both on the football team playing American football, flag football. And I just, you know, God, like I said, he's as concerned about me as he is concerned about my kids. And he wants to have them have faith. And
you can imagine your boy. I mean, Dad, he'll remember that for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it's just and just on and on. God provides and provides and provides and provides, and you know, learning the language, ministering. You know, in Japan, language is very important to minister. And so we're both, my wife and I, learning the language. My kids are fluent; they can go movies, get around on their own. You know, so they're not suffering. You know, it is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice, but God's meeting us all the way.
So how tell us about the ministry now, because like we're talking during the break, Karen and the kids, right? Sean, Shane, and Amanda, they're out there, right?
Yeah.
In the schools, they're out there, and then you're working in the context of the church, which is somewhat insulated, right?
Yeah.
But tell us about the outreach ministry and the vision and passion that God has, because He sent you there for a reason.
Right.
There was a passion and a burden that's there, and you saw something, but now how is it materializing?
Right. You know, we've always had a heart for young people. I mean, just and it'll always be that way.
And you've always been very youthful to me.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So when we got there, the church at the time was all one group. The youth were junior high all the way through college. And when we came in, what they wanted us to do is take the college ministry, start a college ministry. And so the first time for us working with college kids, but God gave me five terrific leaders, Masashi, Sarah, Marika, and Nao, and Taka. And these are my five Power Rangers, and my wife and I. And we started the college ministry, and immediately we were thrust out on campus. And, you know, the great thing was we were never alone. Grace Bible Church here in Honolulu in Leeward has been sending out teams. And so we go out on campus and we meet these kids and we evangelize. And our ministry has grown and grown and grown. And it's not huge, but we're on about four campuses now, and in Tokyo and Yokohama. And kids are getting saved and discipled and raised up, and they're becoming leaders in the church now. And, you know, even just in the 4 years of ministry, you know, some of these kids went from never hearing about the gospel to now they're actually our leaders in our college ministry and graduated from college, and they're coming back and serving in the ministry, reaching the fellow Japanese. So it's just, it's a great time to be ministering in Japan. It really is. The doors are opening. People are open to the gospel.
And that's a very critical age, too, because these students, right, they graduate college, they're going to be involved in either business or education, or whether it be politics or some form of government or ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're going to be fathers.
Yeah.
They're going to be husbands. They're going to be raising families. So the strategic aspect, from the way that I see it, and we've sent some teams through Paradise Global Mission
right.
to work with you guys,
mm-hmm.
You know, with Pastor Arlen. Mm-hmm. And
he's just at my house.
So, but to see, and that's part of why we keep sending them too, because
right.
the strategic impact and the long-term impact in really the possibilities of changing and influencing a whole nother generation,
right,
which starts, you know, with the mm-hmm. reaching people at a very young age.
Yeah, Karen's really good at reaching out to our community. She's got a couple ladies that drop by the house, bring their young children over just to talk story, practice their English, and just reaching out, you know, to other school moms. And we've seen some, you know, one man in particular, when we first moved to our neighborhood, the wife was attending our church and the children, but he was not a Christian. And we were praying for him for 4 years now. We've been praying for this man. And this last Christmas, he calls me up out of the blue and asked if he could come over because he needed some advice. And I thought, I thought he wanted to buy a computer or something. You know, I didn't know what kind of advice he was going to ask me for, but came to my dining room table. It broke down and started crying. And said, I want to know who Christ is. I want to know who Jesus is. And
wow.
And he got saved.
Yeah.
And we're discipling him. He and I, with our broken English, broken Japanese, doing discipleship together. And 2 weeks ago, we baptized him out in Yokosuka. And just to see what God is doing in the in these peoples, young and old, it's a great thing. It's why we can't. I told him, he keeps telling me, oh, I'm sorry you have to come and spend time with me. I said, this is why I came to Japan. You're right, the reason right. why I came. So it's no need to say sorry, you know. But it's a good time to be in Japan.
It's amazing how when God leads someone to to fulfill a vision and a purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, you become fruitful out there in the midst of that. And it's really, you know, it's encouraging to your heart. But just hearing you share that with us and our listeners out there, I'm sure it's encouraging a lot of people's hearts.
Well, and that's why we always, you know, want to leave room. Leave room. I mean, maybe James, you know, when we come back from our break, maybe you can give a word of encouragement to someone who has a big vision, and it seems far away, almost unrealistic.
Yeah.
Whether they're fantasizing on this thing or not, but they sense something deep.
That's right.
With God, but they're facing challenges today, like you have, and Karen has. And God has enabled you to overcome it. And God can enable you to overcome it as well.
That's right.
That's why you're listening today. And that's why James Coble is here. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear more from him. And you'll be encouraged to move forward.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities in 2009 to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name. Call Stephen at 674-9977. That's 674-9977. A door to your dream is now open. The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
During World War I, two promising and highly regarded captains happened to be commanding adjacent units on the front. They walked out in front of their troops toward each other, saluted, shook hands, removed their helmets, and began a conversation. The Germans began a walking artillery barrage, which came closer to the captains. Rather than backing down, suggesting they put on their helmets and rush back to their trenches, both stood there calmly, conversing while artillery rained down around them. They weren't hit. Their names were Patton and MacArthur, two leaders who built enormous reputations of displaying courage at critical moments. You can too. Your moment may be today. I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with The Good Life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. You're listening to The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. To be part of today's discussion titled Hope in a Time of Crisis, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-hosts Alfredo Canencia and Billy Lyle.
Welcome back to our show. We're here with our special guest, James Coble. And, you know, you can always go 24/7. You can spend some time with us. You can hear our programs, our past programs, at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, James has been telling us amazing stories of how God has worked in his life and his wife Karen and their children, Sean, Shane, and Amanda, in their journey to Japan and their ministry there. Now, if you want to hear more or find out more about the ministry of James and Karen Coble, go to www.ygbc.org. ygbc.org. That stands for Yokohama Grace Bible Church. So ygbc.org, and you can find out more information about them and their ministry. Maybe you want to join hands with them. Maybe you want to support them. Prayer for support, financial support. Maybe you want to stand with them because they've got some exciting things coming up, a vision that could lead to church planting in some strategic areas. I mean, the future is ripe and bright. You know, I love roller coasters. I've always been a roller coaster lover, although my kids are very vibrant about it, and I think I may be slowing down a little. But every time I go onto a roller coaster, I know it's going to be quite a ride. And one of the first things I do, you know, they harness you down. One of the first things I do once they lock you in, I'm looking for the handle. Something I can grab onto that I know that's there.
Right.
And I know, James, you've got to have some handles for us as we, our listeners, we move about and ride this proverbial roller coaster of life. It could be a thrill sometimes. Sometimes it's awfully scary.
Yeah.
But we need some handles to grab hold of.
Amen. I mean, you know, I think the one of the biggest handles in my life that allowed us to really hold on to this ride, because it's, you know, everything we do in life is like this. It requires faith, you know. I think the covering of our church was one of the biggest handles. The leaders, people around me, you know, the people around me that spoke faith and vision into us that,
right.
That you know, when we presented this, it was like, well, Who are you guys to go out and plant, you know, think about church planting or helping out in Japan? We have no credentials. We have no, I don't know the language. And, but the leadership around me and the, you know, the people that we were under, they really encouraged us, really steered us, gave us good advice. And we took that advice and, you know, things like timing, you know, okay, it's great. You know, maybe now's not the timing. Let's pray on this some more and let's see how God opens the door. So one was really just taking our vision to the leadership and really just opening ourselves up before them, saying, this is what we feel. What do you guys see in our lives? Is this, you know, do you see the same thing? And we were very open and willing to hear. The other thing I think really is just really understanding who you are in Christ. You know, for me, coming from my background, you know, I finished high school. I didn't go to college. I was really messed up in high school with drugs and I was a surf bum. I wanted to be a pro surfer so I could surf all the time. That was my goal, you know. And so not having that kind of, the self-esteem and, you know, thinking I can do a lot of different things. I didn't really have that in me. But as I began to understand who I am in Christ and really who God is, I'm nothing. God can do anything. God can use anybody. I mean, really grasp that concept. God can use anybody if they're willing. And I think the only difference between me and anybody else, or when we see people who are very successful or it seems that God's hand is on them, the only difference is they're willing. They're willing to say, okay, God, I don't understand this. I don't see how you're going to use me, but I will step out and I will allow you to use me. And that's what's just opened the doors in front of me. You know, the ability to really get a word from God, spending a lot of time in the Word, hearing God, you know. God, when God said, go to Japan, I thought, wait, you know, yeah, I'll go part-time. You guys know, go to Japan and to really get that word from God, take it to your leadership, take it to the ones around you, and then really just understand that God's waiting to just blow your mind, to take you places you never thought you could go, do things you never thought you could do. That's kind of how I live my life now. I hold the vision in my hand and very openly and let God just move me wherever he wants to go.
James, you know, that's so encouraging to hear that. You know, for our listeners that are listening, and maybe perhaps they have a vision or a dream to go somewhere to do something maybe for God for their life, but mm-hmm. they're in that place of transition or process. Mm-hmm. I want you to pray for them. Pray that sure. you know, God will keep them online and you know focus on their vision.
Amen. I'd love to. Father, we just thank you for who you are, Lord, and you are just the God of miracles, Lord, the God who provides, the God who sees us and hears us, Lord. And I pray for anyone out there, Lord, and whether it's going into ministry, whether they're looking at a job change, whether they're looking at furthering their education, whatever it is, Lord, whatever they're believing you for, Lord, I pray right now you give them this extra a measure of faith
yes.
for them to take that step, Lord. As they hear your voice, they would take that step one step further and really allow you, Lord, allow you to meet them. As soon as their feet are pointing in the right direction, Lord, I know you're going to come and you're going to yes. meet them, Lord. Yes. So I pray for that boldness, that faith, Lord. I pray for just all the things that they need would come to them as they step out, Lord. So bless mm-hmm. them, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, James, Alfredo, you know, years ago when we were first starting our ministry, I remember hearing a leader made this statement. He said, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication.
Yeah. Amen.
Simplicity yeah. is the ultimate sophistication.
Amen.
And, you know, when I look at the profound work that God is doing in your life, James, and I know the simple faith yes. behind it, the simple trust in God, the simple loyalty to God, and the humility before God, it encourages me and it encourages everyone comes around. And you've ministered to a lot of people today, and I know that God is doing a work in your life as you listen, as you remember. It's not complicated, it's very
simple
right. trust.
Amen.
Simple faith, simply walking with God and trusting him, trusting your life, putting your life in his hand, and it starts afresh right now, this moment. You know, it's been a blessing. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest, James Coble. Until next week, along with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canincia and Billy Lyle, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today. To find out more, go to www.thegoodlife.com.
You have been listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro, along with co-hosts Alfredo Canincia and Billy Lyle. We hope you have enjoyed our show and that you have been inspired by our featured guests and their stories of God's hand in their lives. Be sure to join us next week for more stories of hope in a time of crisis. Invite a friend to listen. There's no better time than today to unleash your God-given potential. Just leave.